Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, you guys. I am so sorry that I am late.
Yes, I'm
Hello.
Here.
Hello. I'm so sorry, you guys.
That's okay.
I'm so sorry. This is Say Your Peace Network, Radio Network. This is Through the Eyes of the Black Woman. Guys, I am so sorry. I'm doing like two or three different things at the same time. I just looked at the time. Please, you got to get on air. Okay. Well, I want to say happy Women's History Month to you. This is Miss Shawnee Dundell, right?
It's Shanae Green Dundell.
Shanae. Oh, I said it wrong when I look. I had it wrong the last time when you were on my show, didn't I?
Yeah, it's one of those things. I always say, don't worry about it because my mother spelled it so fancy. I just answer to anything.
Okay, Shanae, you guys, tonight is the CEO of Nayberry Productions and Publications. Am I right?
That's correct.
Okay. So what I want you to do is I want you to tell our listening audience about what you do, how you started your business, and if you were looking for any new business, how would you go about doing it?
Okay. Well, what I do is two things. I started out as a writer. I wrote a story. I actually didn't know how far it would go. I had an idea for a story, and I wrote it, and that was my first book, Keeping It Tight. And, you know, after writing that book, I didn't know, you know, how, as I said, how far it would go. And I got a little buzz going behind it, more so because I was working very hard to get the word out to people in different areas. And just learning all that I could about writing, about publishing, and about marketing and promoting a novel. And from there, I established Nayberry Publications, which is how I published the first book. And I went on to put together an anthology, another novel, another anthology, and now I'm working on my third anthology under Nayberry Publications. And so under the Nayberry Publications, I also assist other writers just to accomplish their goals. And just so that, you know, when I first started, I didn't have anybody that I could go to and say, you know, what do I do with this and how do I do that? And just kind of give me the direction step by step. Now, of course, I don't want to say that no one helped me because people did help me. If I reached out to people, about 50% of the time, someone would come back with the answer. But what I'm saying is no one had time enough to just sit down and say, okay, step one is this, step two is this, step three, so that you don't make all of those costly mistakes that new writers can make. And so that's what I offer, a self-publishing assistance program under Nayberry Publications. And I've assisted maybe about 20 authors in getting their books published in one way or the other under that. So, and from Nayberry Publications, that is like my mother company. From that, Nayberry Productions was born. And under Nayberry Productions, it's basically a stage play that was written based on my second novel, Secrets of a Kept Woman. I thought it had a catchy title, and it also has a good storyline. And with some twists and turns, and we have a lot of fun with the play. It's funny, and it has a message to it that, you know, all about inspiring women and instilling virtues. That's what something that one of my cast members brought to my attention this week, just telling me, you know, when we was talking about the play and what people get out of the play when they come and see it. And one of the things that we talked about was just the virtuous, you know, becoming a virtuous woman. And you get to take a look at women who have kind of sacrificed that so that they can have a man or so that they can have money or different things in their life. And so we try to talk throughout the play to get to the point where you, you know, bring those virtues back to a medium in your life. So, but to answer your question, how it all got started, it got started just from my love of reading. I love to read books. I love to, you know, of course, watch movies and interested in stories and how they develop. And so from that point, I just started my own novel. I didn't even know I had what it take to finish one, you know what I'm saying? So I went from start to finish in 1 year, and within 1 year I had a manuscript, and I took it and I sent it off to an editor after I had researched the editor. And then, you know, once she got finished with it, I went from there.
So, okay, now, with your publications, I mean, with your productions, talk about a little bit about that. Have you done any productions lately as far as your plays go and stuff?
Okay, yeah, I have. The production basically is right now we're at one play. We have one play, and we started it in March of 2011, and our kickoff show was in Auburn, Alabama. And right after we did that one, we set up one. It went so well, we set up one in Tuskegee, Alabama, which is my hometown. And so we went down to Tuskegee and had a pretty decent show there. The mayor came out. We had good turnout of people who enjoyed the show. And so we went into a little slow period where I call was my what I call my learning period, the time where I was trying to find out, okay, I jumped off into this play because I thought this would be a great way to showcase the book where people who would say, you know, I don't read, or you know, just weren't inclined to pick up the book. I thought, well, if I put it on stage, that would be something that they would be more interested in, per se. Or I could grab a different audience. And so that's what happened. But during that process, I was learning a whole lot about stage plays and the production of them and how to mount a play. And so I took a little time to kind of absorb all of that in and then deal with some family issues that I had going on. And then we came back in 2012 and we joined the Atlanta Black Theater Festival last October.
Oh.
We did that, and that was an awesome experience, one of the best experiences that I've had out on the market doing, the circuit, Chitlin Circuit. Doing a play. And then next we went to, this past December, we were in Columbus, Georgia at the Liberty Theater with the same play.
Man. Okay, so now let's talk about what made you make the decision to become a businesswoman, and can you tell us what are the core or the key things that you use to be successful in your business?
Well, you know, it was basically doing something that I enjoy doing, and that, like I said, I enjoy reading and I enjoy writing, but I made a conscious decision of whether I wanted to do it as a hobby, and it just be something that, you know, I put money into, and I just have a collection of books and then maybe a few friends read them, or did I actually want to get them out into the hands of people and have people, you know, build a fan base of people who enjoy reading my work, enjoy seeing my work. And so in doing so, you have that choice of it being a hobby or establishing a business. Because if you don't establish a business and you intend to take it far, you won't get very far, or someone else will get most of the benefit off of what you do. And so that was my reasoning behind going ahead and establishing myself as a business owner. And another thing is I did think about the traditional routes and things like that, and it's not that I would be, you know, as my writing grows, it's not that I would be, you know, object to having a traditional contract with a company. It's just that at this point, I prefer all of the freedoms that come along with being an independent publisher.
And what are the freedoms, man?
That's basically saying that I get to put my the cover that I want on my book. I get to have the content that I want in my book. I get to market it to who I want to. No one can tell me, well, no, we're not targeting that audience. We're going to do it this way. We're going to do it that way. Just basically, if I get up, if I decide I don't want to write for 2 or 3 years, I can. Whereas other people who are under contract will have to keep shelling out books as far as, you know, as many as their contract says they have to. So those are some of the freedoms that you have being independent.
Okay. Now, okay, we're talking about publication. Let's talk about your production again, and we'll go back and forth. And the reason why I'm asking, because I want the audience to know, if you want to get in this business, what do you have to do to get in this business? Because you said earlier that you did a lot of this on your own, but you did have people to help you. Now that you know what you know, are you willing to share that with others, how you created what you've done?
Oh, we would have to have more time than we have tonight.
Oh, we got time?
We would have to go ahead and just go ahead and camp out on this thing, okay? It's so many different, you know, things that you would need to know. I mean, when it comes to theater and when it comes to film or anything like that, you break it down into so many different sections, you know, like how to build a stage, how to actually produce a show, how to direct a show, how to market the show, and how to promote it. So it's just so many different things. But if you wanted to get into it, I would say the first step with anyone who wants to be a writer would be to write a script. You know, you have to write your manuscript, perfect your manuscript, and just keep on at it. Let's go back to book writing. There will be people who, when you write your story, there will be some who don't like your story. And I even read, like, one article a long time ago. And at the time, I was younger, so and my writing was younger, so I didn't think that was pertaining to me. It was, this person was saying that, you know, that very first manuscript that they wrote, they were glad that they never published it, because years later, when they went back and looked at it, it was a complete total mess. But at that time when they wrote it, they thought it was the best thing ever.
So
it's one of those things that, you know, if you're 25 and you're writing, it's your first time writing, when you look at it again at 35, you're going to go, oh, my God, what was I thinking? You know? So the first thing you would want to do is just perfect your script, your manuscript, make sure that it's something that you can live with and that could stand the test of time. And so that's going to take some writing and rewriting and maybe putting it down and coming back to it later. It just depends on what type of writer you are. But the first step would be to get the actual product, which is your manuscript.
Hello?
Okay. I'm here.
Sound like I lost you there for a minute.
There's an echo, too. Do you hear it?
Yeah, let me see. I can't hear it on my end.
Okay.
I can't hear it at all. Okay. And sorry about that if you are having any problems. I'm sorry about that. Because a lot of stuff that the listeners and you can hear, I can't hear it on my end. And I'll go back and listen to it again, and I'll complain if it's all right. Okay. Now, so if I wanted to become a writer and I wanted to come under you as the publishing company, what do I need to do?
Well, I don't take a lot of people under the publishing company, and that's just simply because I'm too busy to help another person develop their brand. But what I would look for is a person who is able and willing to and has shown that they are ready to work and can do everything. And all that they need is a publishing company to fall under, and they're ready to go. Yeah.
Okay, so they don't – okay, I see what you're saying. So you're saying as long as they already got everything basically together, you'll be that publishing company for them. So you're not asking for any type of submissions.
At this point, I'm not. I mean, I have it on my website where people can submit, but I'm only looking for people who have, you know, the gumption and the work ethic and are ready to roll. I'm not looking for people who are new, don't really know much about what to do and stuff like that. I'm looking for people who maybe just want to team up and do a collaborative effort and go from there.
Okay, so so we need to let the audience know that your submissions are for people who basically already, do they need to be already published? Is that what you're saying?
No, not already published, but what I'm saying is, I guess, go-getters, people who I don't have to hold your hand the whole time and say, okay, well, you need to set up a book signing this month, or, you know what I'm saying? And I'm not trying to be, I hate to be a hard nose, but that's just, I don't have time to mentor somebody.
So you're saying you're too busy for me, lovely author, that I just want you to tell me how I should do this.
No, Salita, now, Salita, you would not fall in that category. But, you know, I would hate for someone to feel disappointed in me because I don't have time to do the things that they need. You know what I'm saying? So I wouldn't put myself or them in that position to feel like I'm not helping them when I actually just don't have the time to do it. So I would need somebody who already knows, you know, that I need to set up book signings. I will help you, of course, and tell you all the information. I'll talk on the phone and let you know what you need to do, but I don't have the time to set it up. And some of the things that other publishing companies do for their authors.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to, I need to go to your website real quick. That's what I'll do, so I can look at it.
Okay.
What's your website again?
www.naberrypublications.com. And it's spelled Naberry, NAYBERRY.
Okay. Publications.com. Okay. Naberry Publications.
Now, what I do offer for new authors and people who just need the help getting their book published and into print is the publishing assistance. I do offer that, but I don't carry you through the whole time. Once we finish the publishing assistance process, the book belongs to you, all the rights belong to you, and everything that needs to be done for it is it lands on the author's shoulder after that point.
Okay, so they do their own produce. They'll have to do their own not self-publishing, but their own
promoting, marketing,
promotion,
all that kind of
marketing
stuff.
Ah, I like this. Listen to you guys. The music is off the chain. Just don't let you know. The music is off the chain. I like this.
Oh yeah, the music on the website.
Yes. Okay. Well, so all I need to do is call you, contact you, and tell you, okay, I got this thing that I want to do. Will you work with me on this, or do you have somebody that... Now, do you have any employees right now, or you just have people that help you out?
I have, on the production side, I have people who help me. On the publication side, I do a lot of outsourcing, just like if I need help with editing or if I need a cover design or things like that, I do outsourcing. But all aspects of it is managed by me, and, you know, I oversee every project that we do at Neighbor Publications.
You work hard, homegirl. That's what I'm talking about.
Yes, ma'am. Just before I got on the phone, you were saying you were late. I thought I was going to be late. I was taking my daughter to her band practice. Later tonight, I'll be working some more. So it's always something to do, and that's why it's great that you're acknowledging Women's History Month, because women, we have a lot of work to do, especially if you have a family and a husband, and then you're trying to be a businesswoman on top of all of that. You know, it's not as simple as a man who has a woman who can help them with all of that stuff.
Exactly, because you're doing everything yourself. Even though you do have the husband in the house, you still have to maintain everything else because that's our role. or that's what they claim our role is.
Yeah.
But we have to do everything.
That's our role. You know, we're going through this different thing as women. We, I guess back in the 90s or early 80s or late 80s, we wanted to be the independent woman. And I know I did. But once I got a little older and I started seeing this independent woman, I don't really like that. I don't like the rules that go with that. I need somebody to help me. So now I'm trying to break away from that. Yeah, we could use some help.
We'll share the load of work.
Most definitely.
Now, do you do any like entrepreneurs seminars? I was looking at the Black Enterprise. Do you go to any of those women power seminars and stuff?
Not many. Mm-hmm. No. I have a workshop that I'm doing on March the 23rd in Columbus, Georgia, and it's a writing workshop. And even though I'm co-sponsoring that workshop with Christy Black, and even though it is a writer's workshop, and every workshop that I do, I've hosted maybe four of them so far, but every one that I do, I always, you know, do women's empowerment. Men empowerment, writers empowerment, just basically try to inspire people to follow their dreams and do whatever it is that they want to do. And we talk about ways that it can be done as a writer. So I haven't been to any particular women's empowerment or Black empowerment events lately.
So let me say this. So you've been basically working more on the production side opposed to the publication side is what you told me earlier, right?
That's right. For the past 2 years, the Neighbor Productions has taken the majority of my time.
Okay. Now, is that a good thing for you?
Not really, because I've been finding that, you know, some of my readers have been asking, okay, so when is the next book? When is the next book? And then the questions start coming few and far between. And so I said, well, let me get back over here and start this writing up again so I don't lose the people who have been following the writing. Because, of course, if you are an avid reader or if you just love reading, you're not going to wait every 3 or 4 years when I decide to write a book. So this year I have the Savor Anthology coming out and have some great authors in that. And then I'm also writing the follow-up to Secrets of a Kept Woman. I'm about halfway through it with that book. And so I'm hoping that it'll be ready by the summertime. But the Savor Anthology is actually set to release on March the 13th. So I have a few things coming, hopefully some good treats to the readers who enjoyed the Mocha Chocolate Anthology and the Secrets of a Kept Woman first book. They'll have a follow-up to both of those things this year.
Mm-hmm. Now, okay, where's your next place you're traveling with the play?
The next place that we have that's definitely set in stone is the D.C., Washington, D.C., Theater Festival, and that festival runs June the 21st through the 30th. And you have to watch the scheduling program on the D.C. Theater Festival to see our date on there. After that, the next thing that we have on the schedule is October the 5th at the Atlanta Black Theater Festival. We're going back there this year. Very excited to be a part of the Atlanta Black Theater Festival again. Last year we were on the center stage. This year we made it up to the main stage, so that's awesome. And we just I want to congratulate my whole cast and just making this step with me, going to the Atlanta Black Theater Festival again. And then I have a date that is coming up this fall. And I can't announce it yet, but it's one that we have an executive producer for, our very first executive producer, so I'm excited about that, too.
Good. We were talking about trying to get you here, but I'm not, and I just got on the phone with Tanya just a few minutes ago, which is not that it cannot happen. It's just that I'm no longer in that local genre anymore.
So what I would like to do is continue to work with you to see if we can bring you here. I think it would be awesome to bring you here. I'm working on something right now, and you would definitely be something we would very much so look into bringing here, without a doubt. So believe me, I got your name. I'm going to continue to work with you and keep you in contact because we really would like to do that.
Okay.
Like
I'll go ahead and say this. I have a few more dates that I just can't announce right now. I hate to announce things and then it's not finalized, but we do have some more dates, hopefully, in Alex City, Alabama, Auburn, Alabama, and maybe possibly Columbus, Georgia. Those are three things that I'm working on. But as soon as I get those dates, I'll get them out there. But I'm working with a new company this year, and they want me to have at least 5 shows this year, so in different cities. So I have to penetrate 5 markets this year. So we will be working on that very, very hard. And so if you can get us there, that's fine. But I do believe that the date will come that we can all work together.
Yeah,
and I know it's going to come, so, you know, no rush.
She said, look, don't put too much on me right now. I'm trying to get this done. I can do it. I'll get back with you. Let me get this caller on and see if they have some questions. 212? Hello, 212?
Hello?
Hello? Yes, hi.
Hi.
How
Hello?
Are you? Are you there?
I'm here. I didn't have any questions. I was just calling to support Shani. This is Canary. How you doing, Twitter?
I'm good. How are you, Canary?
Fine. I was just tuning in to support you, and I'm glad you have a lot of productive things coming down the pipeline, and I'm rooting for you 200%.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay, you know what we could do? We could take a break right now, and this is Through the Eyes of the Black Woman on the Say Your Peace Radio Network. Your host, Alita, and we have say your name again because I have to say it right. Shanae?
I'm Shanae, so whenever you think of my name, just think of Shanae-nae.
And
I won't get mad at you. But it's Shanae Green Dowdell.
Shanae Green Dowdell. Okay, all right. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to call you Shanae because that's too much names on my mind. So we'll be back.
Okay.
We're going to play a little music for you guys, and we shall return.
Destination reach. I'm an ever spinning car, whirling around till I drop. Oh, but what am I to do? My mind is in a little hope. One small thing to cling to. You got me going in circles. Oh, round and round I go. You got me going. That never stops, Lord, but I feel that way
my soul is safe. Oh, but what am I to do? My mind is in a whirlpool. Give me a little hope. Got me going in circles.
Oh, round and round I go.
You got me going in circles.
Oh, round and round I go.
I'm flying out over you.
With Through the Eyes of the Black Woman, with your host, Salita. I want to tell the story of our existence in our own worlds. I want others to know that we all have a story to tell about who we are and what we are about. We as women play a very important role in life. God has allowed us to bear the brunt and bruises of so much pain throughout the world because he knew that we could survive through wars and injustices that have been geared toward us. He truly knew what he was doing when he created us. That is why they say we are the better half of the man. We as women need to take our place and stand tall, not wavering on who we are. We need not allow others to define us. We need to come together and stop putting each other down, making one another feel that they have to compete. Compete for attention, for relevance, and for substance. We have to know that we are somebody, that we are strong, resilient, intelligent, and most of all, survivors. Again, I say stand tall. Take your place in what defines you. Never let a tear be wiped away before it has a reason to be shed. Make every part of who you are represent what you stand for. You are relevant, no matter how others perceive you. You are relevant.
All right, you guys, we are back with Through the Eyes of the Black Woman with your host, Salita. And we have Shanae here of Nayberry, the CEO of Nayberry Productions and Publications. And we have another caller of 702. Let's see. 702, are you there?
I am. I was actually just listening, but that's okay. I just tuned in, so I don't really know yet what we're talking about. I saw the post on Facebook, and I actually did have a question. I'm in the midst of starting my publishing company, having a hard time because I have no real income to fund the needs of the company. So I just wanted some direction and advice from someone who's already done it.
Is this Soraya Christine?
Yes, ma'am.
I saw your question on the event in Facebook, and I was going to answer that the best I can. The only thing that I can tell you is that you will have to take some time to raise funds. It's just no way that you can start a publishing company without any money. And I just wouldn't tell you that, knowing that I have at one point tapped out my retirement fund, that I have at one point spent my bill money to do things that I needed in my publishing company, and then you know, had to try to figure out how I was going to pay my bills. You know, I'm just going to keep it 100% real. You are going to have some money, and so I think that what you should do before you even attempt to start it is just think of, and this is looking back in retrospect. This is something that I can't say that I did, but I can say that what needs to be done before you even attempt to try to say, okay, I have a publishing company and this is what I need to do. Because if you can't afford to buy books, then you don't even have a product to sell. You know what I'm saying? Well, and things are changing somewhat with the e-book explosion. You can set a book up on e-book. You basically don't have to have any money to do that. You can write a book, and you can get it edited, or if you feel like you're good enough at editing, which is not, you know, something that I suggest, but, you know, there's a way to get it all done and have it up on ebook for free. But are you going to be established correctly, and are you going to be able to build an audience off of that? I don't know. That's a gamble. But in order to establish yourself correctly and to be able to say, okay, I have money to actually put an ad in the paper and let people know that I have a book, to actually have a release party, to do some of the things that it takes to just start penetrating the market around you and letting people know about you and what's going on, you'll need some kind of money. So I would say to sit down and do fundraisers. You can think of fundraisers. In just about every city, there's an arts council. And you can go to that arts council and find out how do you apply for grants for writers in your state. Not to say that you'll get it, but it's always good to have your name in that pot every year when it's time for writers to apply for the grant. I just applied for the grant for Alabama, and the deadline was March the 3rd. I had my paperwork turned in February just to say, okay, that's some money that may come through, you know. Only one person can get it per year, and you just have to think how many writers are in your state and get those grants turned in. I just got some good advice last night from a financial person who has been a vice president of a bank, and I was asking the very same question: how can I get funding for the production company? And he was telling me basically that this is an arts thing, and you're double minority. You're female and you're black. So there are a lot of grants and things out there for it. We just have to get our business plans written and get those perfected, and then get into the Chamber of Commerce in our city and start finding out where this money is and getting to it, you know. So that's where I am at that point. But what I did in the beginning was basically pool a bunch of my own funds and get started with that. And so if you don't have your own funds, then you would definitely have to do some fundraisers and start thinking creatively on how you can get some money. You can do pre-sales. Like, say, for instance, if you had 100 family, friends, people that you know, church, community, if you can get them together and encourage them to purchase a copy of your book in advance, if you get 100 of them, that's, you know, times $10 to make the math simple, then you have $1,000 to do something. And then, you know, you just think if you did 200, you have $2,000. So it's just either way it goes, either you're going to have the money in the beginning, or you're going to have to put a whole lot of work in and creative planning in order to get the money raised.
And another thing, too, I'm glad you said that. Also, you have your Small Business Association, SBA.gov. If you go on the website, they have a website they have great information on starting your own business, because you're starting with the business first, then you're going to a specific business. You have scores that have mentors that are retired people who actually have their own businesses, and they can kind of lead you through. Now, in your local area, she was talking about your arts council. That is a great avenue to start at. But with it just being a business alone, you can look at not only just being the part of you being the writer and the publisher, you also look at the part of you being a business. You're black. If you're an African American, you're a woman, and you're an entrepreneur. You look on those first. You look at those areas first. Then you think about that specific business that you're trying to do. Once you get the answers to that, the business plan, having your tax ID number, having all that stuff in place first, your contracts, everything that you can sit down and show somebody, this is my business on paper, would be another way of saying that, okay, I know I can do this. But the financing part is very important, and you have grants, and if you don't just look at it as the publishing company, but you gear toward a lot of the stuff that you're trying to get, the finances, you're trying to get the funds, look toward it as being an entrepreneur and a business first. You can probably get funded better, like, or maybe even quicker with the business, saying I'm a business, opposed to using the publishing company. Let that come in after you've established that you're in the business. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, so what you're saying basically is that you need to establish your business first, and that's by doing a business license, having your business plan, and that is important. And Salita, just to say, people have told me from the beginning, go to the smallbusiness.gov, and I go there, and I get overwhelmed with all of the information that's there.
Yes.
And so whenever I get overwhelmed with stuff, I just kind of put it to the side. I'll put that in the file to do later. So it was kind of helpful for me to have somebody to say, okay, go to your Chamber of Commerce website, go to the helpful resources link, and then there's a place, like Salita said, get linked up with a mentor, or what they call it in my city, a counselor, who will counsel you through the whole process. But before you talk to them, you want to make sure that you at least have your plan on paper, because you want to be serious when you talk to them and make sure that they know. When you're talking to them, you're not just kind of pulling facts from your head. You're able to tell them step by step what you want to do with your business and the different ways that you plan to make money with it.
Well, and the reason why I didn't say Chambers of Commerce, and I'm talking from my experience with dealing with them here in my area. I have issues with them, so I just don't do Chambers of Commerce.
I haven't started, so I will take your experience and say that,
because what it is a lot of, it's the elite group. See, people put titles on a lot of things when it really means something else. And because me being in the business and knowing a lot of stuff that goes on here, a lot of it is an elite group. You want to be part of the elite group. And our elite group here is not a lot of us in that elite group. So that's why I have issues with that. When it comes to black businesses, if you don't fit a certain criteria, you're not able to fall into their little, their little club, in other words. So I don't do that. And I encourage you about SBA. I don't do SBA, but I do it. I found some good information with them. I'll put it to you like that. I learned some good information on the website with them, which helped me out a lot. When you first start out, it is kind of hard because you don't know who to talk to. But what I did was I did my own research, and I didn't have people and I went to seminars, and I spent lots of money going to these different places and sitting in these business seminars and stuff, and I learned something from it, but could I really use it in what I was doing? I didn't see to do it. So I basically did everything by just me, how do you say that, like you were saying, bill money, pulling money out from here, doing this, paying the car note late. That's how a lot of times I did a lot of my little entrepreneur-type adventures. I did it the way that I knew how, because there was nobody there to tell me. I learned about all the other stuff later on. As the years went by, I learned a lot other things. But people do it all the time. I had one author, and it really broke my heart to a certain extent. She wanted her book written, and she told me she called a publishing company to tell her how to write a book. That bothered me.
Oh, wow.
That bothered me because I'm saying this lady is asking for help, and she said no one could help her. So she had to call a publishing company to find out how to write a book. And that bothered me.
I have a consulting for that. That's crazy.
Yeah, well, see, okay, you have that, but a lot of people don't know, and a lot of people are not computer savvy. And this is why I get so angry with our black folks. It's because the computers are there. You have free computer classes in your library. I know because we have it here. That can teach you just the basics. People don't even want to learn the basics. Oh, I get so frustrated.
Well, I mean, Salita, if you want to know how to write a book, a good way to find out would be to read another book or look at another book. Or also, but it's just like if you wanted to make ketchup, you might want to look at the ingredients on a ketchup bottle.
Ketchup.
Yeah, yeah, so... It's not one of those complicated things where...
But see, you're saying that because you know how this person, she wrote a great book, but the idea that she had to start out by going to a publishing company to tell her when she could have, you know, probably asked somebody else. But and I said, we shouldn't be at the point where we're going to ask the people that might, you know, that will turn us down for publishing. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying now.
You see,
yeah.
That bothers me for us, and we're supposed to be, you know, a team of writers. And I think if you can get on Facebook, you can get a lot of information off of Facebook. I know
yeah.
I get a hell of a lot. We use it on our show, on our radio show, the other radio show that I'm a co-host on, in the local area. We use a lot of information right off from our guys on Facebook because that's stuff we don't get here. You know, we don't have that. At our hands, so we have to get it from other places. And I guess in the situation she is in, she probably couldn't be able to do that. But somebody took time out enough to tell her that, which was nice. But those would have been the same people that rejected her if she would have sent her book in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that brings me to a point. Okay, sometimes I get people who ask, okay, how do I publish my book, mm-hmm. or how do I how do I write my book would be a question that would wreck my nerves from the beginning. For one,
uh-huh.
that lets me know that you haven't done, I mean, you don't even have to go to the internet. You don't have to have a computer. If you can get a ride to the library, there are a lot of books in there that tell you how, that breaks that down.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I think that, you know, I was taught when I first started, or at least by one of my mentors, that if you're going to ask a question, it should be a specific question that shows that you have researched everything and you just can't get that piece to it. Not a big, general, broad question, because nobody really can help you if you, okay, how do I write a book? You mean the grammar part, or do you mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Do you mean the paragraphs, how to break those down, or the flow, the plot? What part are you talking about? You know?
Well, I think it has a lot to do with it because you're experienced. I don't think the education level was there at the time. You understand what I'm saying? The comprehension
yeah.
level
okay.
was there. That's what I'm thinking would happen with that. But the idea that something as simple as what you just said, you broke it down, well, I don't think that person knew to do that. You understand what I'm saying?
Right, right. And so that just goes into more research. And I guess, like you said, more classes. If you find out people having a workshop going on or something online, you just, there's no way to get it. Just like there's no way to start a publishing company without money, there's no way to start it without researching and knowing a little something about it. You know, it's absolute, you know, you can't be a doctor without going to school.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't. Is there some things you can't go in and say, I'm going to be a CPA and I didn't, you know, I really don't know what these numbers are. You just have to know some things before you start trying to do it. And if you're already trying to do it, and this is from experience, I'm not talking like I'm some person who's done everything perfect. I'm just saying that if you don't know what you're doing, eventually it'll catch up with you, and you know your readers will start complaining about it. You know, I feeling duped. She just duped me out of $10. I read this book and it's not even a plot in it, you know, or something
exactly,
like that. So,
exactly.
You know, it's just really no way to get around those processes of making sure that you, as a writer, comprehend everything that's supposed to be happening in a story before you put it in the reader's hands.
Exactly. And when you talk about, and I was thinking about her, and I was one of my other authors was telling me, when it comes to starting a publishing company, you have to know what you're doing. You can't, because once you start taking in other people's money, because that's what you're going to be doing if you're publishing their book, once you start taking on clients, you have to know the legal obligation you have and they have to you when you start talking about a publishing company, if you're going that route. If you're just doing it to publish a book for yourself, that's different. But once you start bringing on clients, like you were saying earlier, you have to know what you're doing, because you don't do with certain parts of it, you just don't do because you don't have the time. It's good to have people in place that will work with you, and if you have to start out with volunteers, to work with you, to help you get it going. But you have to be very careful with that, because that starts to be legal. You're talking legal then.
Mm-hmm.
And messing with other people's money, that's not a good thing. When you got
If that book is plagiarized, or parts of it is taken, when you take it in as a publisher, even though you in your contract say, okay, well, you the author are guaranteeing me that this is not plagiarized, but when they get ready to sue, you know, you're going to be just off in that hot water with the author, because you put it out there and everything, so you're going to have to clear your name and hands. You know, so that you don't face those charges. And then I think what you were about to say was the royalties, all of those things can be audited, you know, to make sure that you're paying the authors correctly as they should be. And I've only had one author that came under me traditionally, and that was Naya Moore, and that's because I love her work. We've worked together before, all the way back to 2008, and she you know, came on to with Neighbor Publications for a one-year contract in 2011, and you know, we had a great time working together, and so, you know, I just look for certain relationships when it comes to taking somebody under me as a traditional writer, you know, as a traditional contract. Otherwise, I just say, okay, you know, basically, just like if I was going to sweep your kitchen for you, or cut your grass, I'll say, well, you know, I'll edit it, or I'll do certain things for you, like format it, put it together, I'll upload it to Amazon, but at the end of the day, this project is yours as if you had published it yourself. That's what I do for the most of the customers at Neighbor Publications, and it works out as a mutual benefit. I think most people like the freedom to know that, you know, that they're not going to be disappointing me if they don't do anything with their book for a year, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, any money that's made off of the book, it belongs to them. So it's kind of like one of those things where you work and you get paid. If you put in the work to promote your book, you may get more out of it. If you don't, then, you know, that's just between you and whatever your goals are for your book. So
exactly.
But you're absolutely correct. When it comes to publishing, there are a lot of things that go into it legal-wise, and you can land yourself in court if you don't handle everything properly through contracts and making sure that, you know, everything is proper, in the proper order.
Hey, guys, I have to get off the line and start my own show. Thank you guys so much. And,
thank you.
I will talk with you guys again.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Now, I was remember when I first start doing interviewing of authors, I had a couple of authors that I interviewed, and I can't remember who they were because it was so long ago. And they were coming out of a situation just like you just said, where the publishing company stopped paying the royalties, returning their phone calls, and they literally were, it was like three or four of them that I had talked to, that they literally were going to court and suing this person. So publishing, having a publishing company is something that you have to be serious about. You have to know what you're doing. You have to. Because I know I wouldn't want the reputation of duping anybody out of what their earnings were. And it was a big
right.
thing because they were blasting the person's name. I think that's when Facebook, when I started really paying attention to Facebook. But they were actually blasting the person's name of the publishing company out on Facebook and saying how, do not, if you see this book, do not buy this book from, purchase this book from this person, because this person, and they were really angry. I can't
well,
remember.
Well, it happens all the time. And I think, I know of one incident, it may be the same, but this particular company had done very well in urban books, actually had been, street literature had actually done very, I mean, I think they were, you can arguably say that they set the precedence for street literature. And
okay.
and then, you know, this person, for whatever reason, and according to the authors who made the complaints, didn't get paid, and they were actually getting checks, and the checks were going bad, and all this kind of stuff.
Yes,
I
think that might be the same one. Was
right,
it a female who was over it?
Yes. And the thing is, you know, those situations, I don't know. They said she was living lavish and, you know, just taking the money and spending it on herself. But you have to pay people. I mean, that just comes down to morals, not really. You know, if the books were moving like that and selling in units the way that they were saying that they were, 20,000 copies of a particular author's book sold, but, you know, not getting the money for it, there's really no reason not to pay your people if you got that kind of money coming in.
Yeah, definitely.
You know,
but we do that. We do it for greed, and we get to the point where the money starts controlling what we should do and who we should do and how we should deal with it. Once the money starts getting in that position in your mind and in the way you live your life, that's what happens. You forget. It's greed.
Yeah.
It's when greed kicks in.
Yeah, and you
that's
can see it happening, because just imagine, okay, 1 month, how we were, we say when we began, we maybe spent our bill money. So she maybe spent some bill money 1 month and got it all started. So she kind of feel like it's time to pay herself back. Well, you can do that one time and mess up the whole the whole financial situation goes crazy. So and that's one of the things I had to learn as within the last 2 years, I think I did it too in 2011 when I set up the first play. I went and got an account separately for my business, because I was doing it like co-mingling, you know, because it was just me, and I didn't have a reason to separate the two. I didn't feel like I did, and so I was doing some co-mingling, and it gets kind of easy. The lines get blurred. You don't know whose money is who when you do it that way. So whose money is who? Yeah. So you know, you need to have things separated. You need to have things documented, and so that you know, that this money, yeah, I have $20,000 in the bank, but it doesn't belong to me. It belongs to these authors, you know,
exactly.
or
exactly.
to the production team or whatever. So, yeah.
You're right. You are so right about that. And if you know, and your finances are very important. You have to have them in, and there's no excuse. There really isn't an excuse when you have QuickBooks, when you have all these different accounting program software that you can use to alleviate that, or just get you a CPA. If you're not comfortable with doing it yourself, get you a CPA. You only use them once a month, and that's when it's time for all the, you know, all your statements, your balance sheets and everything to start working. You pay them once a month. So they're really part-time, so you don't really have to spend a lot of money on them. Unless, you know, you're getting one of those real high, you know, high-end ones, it won't cost you that much money to get an accountant. Whenever I was doing my businesses, we didn't do our taxes. We took it to an accountant, and the accountant did the taxes, and they told me what we were going to get back and whatever, because we had to do that. Every year we did it, we made sure we got an accountant to do it, because I didn't want to be audited. I didn't want nobody to mess with my money. I didn't want to be locked up. So I made sure I did that with everything that we were doing, because I'm not no math savvy person. I know I'm not. So
right.
The best thing to do is get somebody else to do it for you if you're not sure or comfortable with yourself doing it. You know?
Right.
And you have to spend the money. The whole thing is you will have to spend money regardless of what you do. You have to spend money. No.
Well, we have another question from the Facebook group.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
Are you calling to that? I like that.
Yes. D-Lynn Blaylock asked, what female in your life has had the most influence on your creative career? I'm still live on air interviewing on her show, but she wanted to ask that question. Okay. Now, what female has had the greatest impact on my creative career? I would have to say my great grandmother Madea, and I say and it's just a coincidence. I think Tyler Perry must have been hanging with his aunts and stuff. But anyway, she is, you know, a lot of my characters is I name them like old people names and stuff like that. And one of my ladies, she's in the cast. Her name is Kiki Walker. She's 24 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And she told me, she pointed out, she said, you know what, all these characters got old people names. And I was like, and she started making me think of, because I'll say Leroy and, you know, Gladys and all that. And, you know, she's like, it is 2013. But anyway, and that a lot of that stuff comes from the fact that, you know, one of the people in my life who instilled a lot of the values that I do have as far as, you know, when you walk in a room, you speak to people. When you step over someone, you say, excuse me. When somebody gives you something, even if you don't want it, say thank you. When I was little, I used to hate that. You know, she was always on me, just always. I mean, I couldn't miss one beat, and she was on me about something that I did wrong. But when I do notice that as an adult, if I walk in a room, I speak to people, I greet them, and I expect the same, really, and sometimes to my dismay. But a lot of those things, those values she put into me, and some of those I try to bring, that one of my purposes is to bring that out, just plain human values, treating people the way that they should be treated. I try to bring that out into my writing and into the things that I do. So I would say if I had to pick one person, then I would pick her. But really all of the ladies in my life, my mother, my aunts, and all of them have something, and their pieces of them are characters in my books or in my plays.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, thank you for asking that question. That was very nice of her. Okay. Now, you said something. I was trying to catch it. Because you'd be talking so fast on me.
I'm sorry.
I'm trying to get all of it in. You said something that when you were talking about, I think when you're talking about the person that influenced you in your life, we always seem to go to Madea. We always seem to be closer to the grandmothers and the aunties. For some reason, they hit us mostly, and I guess because, and it goes back to the ideal. If we understand our African heritage, the grandmothers, the elders were the ones, not your immediate, your mom, but the elders were the ones who taught you how to be a lady, how to be a wife, how to do all those things. So that is a great example of what really is supposed to happen in our lineage when it comes to our generation. That the elders are supposed to teach you how to do everything. And we do that. I find that we do that a lot. The grandma taught me how to do this. Grandma taught me how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
We do that because
that's
the natural way it's supposed to happen. Mom is not supposed to teach you, but grandma or the elders of the family is the one who teaches you how to be who you are. So that was, I think that was an excellent point that you made, that your grandmother was the one who told you, I mean, who taught you, even though you didn't want to learn it, but you learned to be that way. And you know what? We don't do that. That's part of customer service. See, when you talk about business, you said something very pertinent, too, with that. When you say when you walk in a room, you speak to people. You say, excuse me. And a lot of customer service has to do with that. And you know what? We don't do it enough. I don't think we do it enough.
Yeah, I mean, when I get off the phone with people, I always say thank you, thank you. Mm-hmm. And I probably don't say it enough, especially to my cast members and people who help out all the time. You know, you kind of take advantage, not advantage, and I want to strike that.
Take for granted.
You take for granted, yeah, what they do. Exactly. And so you may, a new person may come in and they hand you, do one thing for you and you say thank you, but people who are always there, they kind of like get, you know, taken for granted and you think that they're going to be there and then you get surprised one day when you walk in and they're not there. So you need to make sure that you say thank you. You don't have to say it every time and all the time because sometimes, you know, I've worked with one lady who said thank you and excuse me so much that you didn't think that it was even sincere. But, mm-hmm. You know, you definitely need to make sure that that's something that is a part of you and a part of your business. Appreciation, appreciating your customers and the people who keep you in business. Yeah, that's very important. And we have another question.
Go ahead.
Legacy. How important is it to me and how do I want to be remembered? Wow. Now, it's very deep. That question came from Carrie Wagner on the Facebook event. And, and I guess I could say, like, when I first started out, I didn't have any idea of what legacy I wanted to leave. I didn't even know that doing this was going to end up leaving a legacy. You see what I'm saying? So it's like I was just writing a book, trying to be entertaining, trying to put my little 2 cents off into the literature that was already out, so I didn't really think that deep about it. And even when I produced the first play, I was just trying to be funny and just trying to, you know, do something that would be entertaining and then have a message to it about friendship. So I really didn't think that deep about it, but these past few months, just dealing with family issues, just dealing with my kids and looking at them growing up to be people, little people, instead of little kids, I'm starting to say, okay, I need to take a look at what is it that I want to leave behind. So my legacy is growing in importance every day to me. And what I want to be, how I want to be remembered is by someone who had the drive to take something small and make it big. Exactly. And, you know, and also to take other people with me and see them become successful and to just have take something small and make it big. I think that's the main, that's where I am right now. Like I said, it's growing every day, every month. Every time I go into rehearsal and I, you know, see something new evolve from the play, you know, the legacy grows. For instance, like I told you at the beginning of the interview, that I was talking to a cast member and we was talking about what people can take from the play, and that's instilling the virtues of the woman, the virtues of life, you know, just basically. And those were, that to me, that's a part of my legacy. That's a part of something that when they come to a Shanae Green Dowdell play, that's something that they can say, well, I left there feeling inspired to be a better woman. And that will become a part of my legacy. So it won't be one thing that I hope that by the time it's all said and done that I'll be remembered by, but definitely I want to be remembered by taking something that was so small, just the idea, and taking it and making something great out of it.
Which you've already started, you began, you've got steps already together to do that.
Yes, I hope so.
You do, definitely. Do you have any more questions for us, Shanae? Anybody else have any more questions? You did an excellent job.
That's all of the questions that I have, and I just want to say thank you to everyone for tuning in and, you know, taking the time out of their day. I want to say happy Women's Month to all of the ladies out there and to the men who treat us like the ladies that we should be. And just, you know, whatever you do, stay inspired and stay lifted. Into the author who called in and wanted to know how she could start a publishing company with no money, I just want to encourage her to stay stay on her dream and just continue to go with it. And all of the people who called in probably had questions but didn't ask the questions. You know, I just hope that they will continue with what they wanted to do with their life.
Well, Shanae, I want to say thank you for your time. This was a fabulous interview. You know you're welcome on the show anytime, and you know good and well I gotta stay connected with you because I gotta get you here. We really, really want to get you here. I want to say again thank you for your time. God bless you with all your endeavors, not just your theater, anything that you put your hands on. You want to make that small thing big, and sounds like you're doing an excellent job with it right now. So I want to say thank you again for calling. I mean, thank you again for your time, and thank you again for the interview. And I want to say good night, and God bless you.
All right, same with you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye, sweetie. Okay, you guys, that was Shanae Green Goodell. She is the CEO of Nayberry Publications and Productions. That was an excellent interview. I love interviews like that. So I have a couple of more minutes, and what I want to do is throw some music at you guys, relax, sit back. I'm going to let the music play. I'm not going to do any more talking, hopefully. So let's hear a little of Teddy Pendergrass, you guys.
That we've been through, you should understand me like I understand you. Now, baby, I know the difference between right and wrong. I ain't gonna do nothing to upset our happy home. Like children, when we argue for the fight, hey, hey.
If you don't know,
if you don't know now,
you will never, never, never know.
You'll never, never, never know me. Our own funny moves. I've got mine. Woman, you got yours too. Just trust in me like I trust in you. As long as we've been together, that should be so easy to do.
Hey, hey, Mr. Now I need to buy my told this fool to stop it. You should have made this blind man see. I've got my pride back into my pocket. Oh, won't you bring her back to me?
Hey, hey. My baby somewhere. Would you please tell I'm waiting with open arms? Would you please make my dreams come true?
Baby, 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 baby.
Have you thought about hosting your own radio show? If so, visit our website at sensible64.wix.com/sayyourpeacenetwork. That's sensible64.wix.com/sayyourpeace, P-I-E-C-E, network.
Senseless killing going on in this world today, such as government wars, gang and drug wars, domestic violence, and illegal guns. To stop this, we must all participate in the International Stop the Violence campaign. You feel me?
Brothers and sisters, increase the peace. We got to stop the violence. Stop the violence. Watch the beat. Watch the beat. Brothers and sisters,
real talk.
Increase the peace. Too many of us die young.
Die young.
Never reach another every day,
every day,
and the signs of evidential,
evidential. We filled up the cemetery.
What?
We filled up the jail.
What?
Filled up the courtroom.
What?
Living constantly on bail.
What? But the pain runs deep, runs deep, deep. Hurt is what you feel.
You feel
another shot is gone forever
and ever.
The funeral,
for real,
for real. But when you look at your children,
your children.
We will return with Through the Eyes of the Black Woman with your host, Salida. I want to tell the story of our existence in our own worlds. I want others to know that we all have a story to tell about who we are and what we are about. We as women play a very important role in life. God has allowed us to bear the brunt and bruises of so much pain throughout the world because He knew that we could survive through wars and injustices that have been geared toward us. He truly knew what He was doing when He created us. That is why they say we are the better half of the man. We as women need to take our place and stand tall, not wavering on who we are. We need not allow others to define us. We need to come together and stop putting each other down, making one another feel that they have to compete. Compete for attention, for relevance, and for substance. We have to know that we are somebody, that we are strong, resilient, intelligent, and most of all, survivors. Again, I say stand tall. Take your place in what defines you. Never let a tear be wiped away before it has a reason to be shed. Make every part of who you are represent what you stand for. You are relevant, no matter how others perceive you. You are relevant.
Okay, you guys, I want to again say we had a great show tonight with Shawnee Dondell Green. I'm sorry, I said her name wrong. Her name is Shanae Green Dondell, CEO of Nayberry Productions and Publications. I hope you guys enjoyed the show. I had a great time. I've learned some new things, and I'm going to use them to my advantage. Stay tuned. I should be back Monday. I think I've got something to be – I do have something scheduled tomorrow, but if I don't do it, I will be back on air. So I want to say good night, you guys. Have a great weekend. Enjoy yourself. And happy Women's History Month.
This has been another episode of Through the Eyes of the Black Woman with your host, Salida. We want to thank you for listening in and stay tuned.